in the Gospel according to John. The Lord has warmed my heart to speak to you along this line this morning. In the great 13th and 14th chapters of this wonderful Gospel, the Lord has been talking to us about His love. Now, as for me, I'm your man, if that's how you're going to talk to me. If you're going to talk to me of love, and I can feel the love of God coming through you when you talk about it, so that this isn't the idealism of Scripture, but it is the sort of ordinary, mundane thing of your life, the common level on which you live. Well, praise God, I'm your man every time. You can have me for loving me. That's what I discovered about God. He's got me for loving me. Hallelujah. And in this 13th chapter, we read this wonderful word. 31. When Judas was gone out to sell his master, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him." I want to tell you, beloved, that in common with many other things in John's Gospel, it is a gospel that is epigrammatic. It is a gospel that reveals divine principles that the synoptic gospels work out in the life of Jesus Christ. Here is a divine principle. If you want to know why you are not full of glory and glorified in yourself, it's because you haven't, God isn't being glorified in you. Verse 32 is the principle. If God be glorified in you, he will glorify you in yourself. Amen. That's right. Go on, let that sink in. If you're not full of glory, it's because of that. Oh, you can be full of pain and full of glory. You can be full of suffering and full of glory. You can have plenty of tragedy, full of glory. There is that if you glorify God in everything, even though a man has lifted up his heel against you, he's dipped his hand with you in the dish, determined to betray you whilst he's doing it, and has gone out to sell you out unto bestialism because of his sadistic nature and heart, to be able to glorify God. Hallelujah. It is the deepest things of life. It is the most tragic. It is the most awful things of life. The unspeakable things, for believe me, I found it hard to find a word on my tongue to describe that act of a moment ago when Judas was going out to betray his master. What things could you say about it? What treachery, what devilishness, what cowardice. In fact, we sum up all that's evil by calling it an action of Judas, or call a man of Judas. And Jesus said, "Now I'm glorified." Now I'm glorified. Praise God. And he's speaking thus, this wonderful Jesus, as he goes on and says, "Little children," verse 33, "yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come, so now I say to you, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's the verb. You love. That's the action. If you love one another, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love. That's the noun. They won't know you have love if you don't love one another. They won't take any notice about your claims to love or anything like that. They never do. People don't after a while. I mean, when we're little children and mummies and daddies come along and they tell us they love us, we believe it for a start, if they prove that they do. And if they don't prove that they do, we don't believe them, and disillusionment and insecurity has come into a child's heart. And you've sown the seeds of all your trouble. Amen. Let us learn this. Beloved, we've got to love one another. And everybody will believe we have loved them. And if we don't love one another, we haven't got any love. And that's the answer to it. I love the simplicity, the straightforwardness of God. And unto this wonderful love, earlier on in the chapter, which begins by telling us that before the feast, verse 1 of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Glorious, isn't it? And you know how that he pours this water into a basin, and he girds himself with a towel, and he goes and washes his disciples' feet. This was the most important thing to Jesus. You may remember that when he was wanting to keep the Passover, he directed his disciples to go to a place and watch for a man that was carrying a pitcher of water. Now the man that's carrying a pitcher of water, he says, you're to say to him, where's the guest chamber? Say to him that I want the guest chamber, I want the best room, I want to eat the Passover there with my disciples. He was most emphatic that the water must be there. It must be there. He said, you go and prepare the Passover. They knew what to get. They knew about the unleavened bread. They knew about the bitter herbs. They knew about the roast lamb. But someone else had to supply the water. Because the water, so far as he was concerned, was probably the most necessary thing of all to him. And he wanted to get down and take a bowl of water and wash his disciples' feet. Because, as he says here, we must be clean. We read it here. He said in verse 10, when Simon said in verse 9, Lord, wash my head and wash my hands and wash my feet and so on. Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. So he said that they were not all clean. But Jesus wanted them to be clean every whit, because he was going to give them a new commandment to love one another. He was going to tell them that he was going to bring them this one, and nobody else had ever given them a commandment since the days that Moses gave them commandments hundreds and hundreds of years before. And here is one sitting there, and he said, now I'm going to give you a new commandment. The old commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, everything. And the second one was, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There are plenty of people who think because they keep that they're Christians. But no, they were just good Jews when they did that. The Christian commandment is added to the old Judaistic commandment. A new commandment, that you shall love one another as I have loved you. A new standard of loving. You can love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with everything, and love your neighbor just like any other human being loves your neighbor and think you're a Christian. But these men were not Christians. They were good Jews following the Christ. And he said, I'm going to give you a new commandment, and the standard of the love is mine, not some other human being, so that you can look at your neighbor, look at your friend, look at someone else, and say, oh, isn't it all lovely? The standard is that you must know Jesus, and if you don't know how to love, how can you love as he loves if you don't know him? You couldn't love as I love if you didn't know me. Nor by reading a book that someone might write about me could you know it either. As a book's been written about Jesus' love. To love as I have loved you. The basic thing is that he so loved you that you've opened your heart to him and said, come in, Lord, come in, thou heavenly lover, come in, all lovely, love divine, and live in me, and transform me so that I can love as you love, I can't love as you love. I can only love as a man would love. I can only love as a human would love. Come right in, blessed Lord, and live in me. And if he's going to live in you, that means he's going to take up all your powers. He's not going to live in a little isolated casket or sarcophagus somewhere down in here, corner heart, wherever that is. I'm going to live inside, and he's all going to be living in you, all shut up and nice, meaning that you're really a tomb with a great big stone rolled across your mouth and sealed with the Romanic seal. As dead as dead can be, saying Christ is in you. For to live in you, he must live your life. With all your powers, he must come into your feelings and into your outgoing affections. He must come into your emotions. He must be in your imaginings. He can't live in you unless he can have you, all your powers to use and live in and express himself through. That's what living is. The rest is a Christian notion. Best buried and forgotten. Amen. Love one another as I have loved you. How has he loved me? Read the story of the Bible. That introduces you to it. That's historic. But how has he loved me? All alive to come into me and ransom my being, not by an outpaying of blood that can be imputed to me, though thank God for it, but by a present coming, reclaiming me from the world and from myself, reclaiming me from wasting one precious thing on anything or anyone else, wasting one thing of my being. He loves me. He wants to have me all gathered up into that eternity. That's what he wants. You're to love one another as I has loved you. That's what he says. And this is why, beloved, in the next chapter, he starts to talk about the Holy Ghost. You can see the logic of this.
You know, the Bible is the most logical book.
And if you stop treating it as a sort of a dip, in which you dip and get a little bit to help you because you're feeling a bit down one day, or because you're up the next, or out the next, or in the next, or whatever it is, if you read it that it's logical in its unfoldings, you will see he's talking about cleansing. He's talking about loving. And then, of course, is the logic. They can't do this, he thinks. God thinks, you know. And he'll teach you to think after him. You can have the mind of Christ, and you can think as Jesus thinks. He thinks, well, this can't be unless they have the Holy Ghost in them. Because it's the Holy Ghost, it says in Romans 5:5, that comes to shed this love abroad in our hearts. Isn't it simple? The Bible's a very simple book. It's most logical and straightforward. Only we bring our ridiculousness to it and our limitations, and we get the Bible a bad name by our stupid handling of it. You see. And in the 14th chapter, we find him talking like this. After he has said to them the thing I've quoted, verse 9, talking to Philip, Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? What? They didn't know him. No. There's only one thing about it. You cannot know Jesus Christ. You cannot know his love to you, not quite apart from biblical record, though not different from it, but in your own glorious heart and experience. You can't know him in this way without the Holy Ghost. So he says to them, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another. Good. For the love of God that's shed abroad in my heart isn't a feeling, it's a person. It's the life of that glorious Jesus. You see, this is where we go wrong. We get on our doctrines and our little side issues, and we carve a lump off, and we preach a great sermon about holiness or love or life, but it's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's necessary for us to know about these things. It's necessary for us to someone to tell us about it. But oh, beloved, it should be that when you listen to the great messages of the themes of the Bible, it all starts jumping up inside you because he's there, and he's rejoicing that you're listening to it. And you say, yeah, that's right, this is just as fine, it's right. It's all glorious. He's here, you see. Praise God. And only telling you more about this life, and you're discovering mentally what you know already spiritually. Is that right? Something wrong with your experience. If not, you'd better get right with God. You'd better get right with the Lord. And so he's on this marvelous thing, he said. The Spirit comes, I'll come to you. I'll come to you. And my word, he says, yea, a little while, verse 19, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live. You shall live also. Amen. You shall live also. What a marvelous thing it is to have this great love of God shed abroad in your heart, filling you, flooding you, becoming your great life inside you, so that everything is transformed, everything within you. Now this is what it is. It's a marvelous outflowing thing. And you enter into an understanding of what is crammed into those two little letters in the 16th verse of John chapter 3. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You'll pass into that which even God finds impossible to express in words. We get two little letters, an S and an O, and we put them together. And we say, God so loved. And somebody comes along and says, well, tell me how much this love is. And you just cannot begin to measure it. It's rather like we're told in Ephesians. Let's go into it, beloved, shall we? In that great third chapter where... again, we're told the same thing. Paul and John are saying the same things. Third, where Paul is praying, he says in 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of... let's all read that next word together. Come on, out loud. What is it? Our Lord. Hallelujah. Our Lord. Glory be to God. And we're not using the phraseology of religion. And there are times when old Paul uses the first person singular. He says, my God, you see. But there are times when he says, ours, hallelujah. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. There it is. In the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. You have seen that? That's why he had to pray for the Spirit to come. It just can't be unless the Spirit strengthens you under this. The Holy Ghost has to come first. There are plenty of people who think that Jesus comes first and then the Holy Ghost next. That's because they don't read their Bibles properly. In history, yes. In history, yes. In the manifestation of the Godhead, yes. But not in spiritual experience. He said, I'm praying that the Holy Ghost will come and strengthen you, and Christ will be able to dwell in your hearts. Amen. And out of your weakness and out of your mere humanity, for strong a human personality as you may be, as strong and as cultured and as developed and as educated as you may be, my beloved brothers and sisters, you're as weak and weak as weak. God teach us this tremendous thing, that we might be strengthened unto this marvelous thing that God is revealing to us. Strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. In reality, that is by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and breadth and depth and height, and to know this love of Christ which passeth understanding, that you might be filled unto all the fullness of God. The great basic necessity, beloved, of every one of us in this room is to be able to love with the love of Jesus Christ, to love one another. Don't seek other things before that. Don't seek anything else before that. It's because other people have sought and gained other things without this that the church is in the parlous and tragic condition it's in throughout the world today. This is the naturalness of everything, for the nature of God is love. This is what makes everything so sublimely easy. This is what brings miracle into its right context. This is what relates power to personality properly. Love. That a human being can move in the excellent qualities of the man of Galilee, exalted to the right hand of the Father. That a man may speak his words, he must speak them in his manner. That a man may do his works, he must do them his way. And then they bring the love of God that floods in like a compassionate flood, or curls its tender fingers round the heart of a man or a woman that would be far out of chasing the lust of the world and living under self and only calling on God when they've got a cancer or an ache or a pain and not wanting to live for Jesus. This wonderful love of God, so winsome, so full, when a man is filled with the love of God and he's in the heights and the lengths and the depths and the breadth of so deep that he cannot be plumbed, so high that nothing can get over him, hallelujah, so broad that nothing can get round him, and so long that nothing can exhaust him. And God is wanting us to move in this inexhaustible, immeasurable, unplumbable love of God that knows no defeats and cannot be turned back, because it isn't of a human being, but it is being supplied by the constant Holy Ghost who's come to strengthen us with all might, that nothing is too much trouble, and the man passes from strength to strength. Out of weakness he's made strong. He not only goes 2 miles, he'll go 20 miles. He'll not only give his cloak with his coat, he'll give his house, he'll give his home. He'll give everything. He'll lay down his life till nobody has anything save a coat to gamble with or a tomb to visit and attend. This is the way with a man when he's filled with the love of God. And I want to say to you this morning, beloved, that he commands you to have this love. You are not left to choose whether you will have it or whether you won't. You've never been gathered into that room with Jesus Christ. You've never been his guest yet. You've never sat in the guest chamber. You've never really felt his cleansing flooding you over your feet, even though with your head you didn't understand it and blundered about it like old Peter when you ought to have known better. You've never known his kneeling at your feet like a slave. You've never known his compassions. You've never known him laying aside his God and his glory that you see, that you sing about. You've never known it. Never known it. Unless you heard him come with this commandment. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. I give it in commandment into your heart, into your mind, into the fiber of your being. I give it there freely, fully. I give it. This is basic.
Praise God.
This is the new nature. The rest is a sham. An emotional experience, something ephemeral, comes and goes. But this, to have the love of God that was hammered out at Calvary, his flesh yielding unto it, everybody got mad and berserk, and all hell gathered and enraged against it. Read Acts chapter 4 and see when they prayed it in that prayer. Read Psalm 2. Read Psalm 22. And see what the Lord has to say about these things. And God is going to bring it.
there, that this great love of God should be shed abroad in your heart, and things that were efforts drop off you, things that were difficulties seem no longer to exist. Mountains are brought down to a plain, valleys are lifted up so that the up and down experience ceases, and you walk on a great level plain. God, the plain truth and fact that you are a man of love, a woman of love. Now this is what it's all about. I meet so many people, they say they've had to receive the Holy Ghost, they've been baptized in the Spirit. But I say, this love you talk about, brother, I don't know anything about this. I say, then, well, you've got a different baptism from me then. What's gone wrong? This is it! This is the life! This is God come! Plain for everybody to see. This is that which suffer a repetition. Relates everything into reality and a human personality of all gifts and abilities, talents and graces. This is it, the level of operation, the life from which they spring, the naturalness of all things, God on the earth again in a man. That's what it is. The rest is intellectual dishonesty. Spiritual shortcoming. The rest is refusal to face up to fact. The rest is refusal to go the right way. The rest is taking advantage for self-exaltation and advantage of the lovely gifts of God. Jesus gathered them all into the guest chamber and said, come and be my guest, will you? Let this be an antechamber of heaven, will you? Let God, your God, kneel at your feet. Let him reverse the situation to you who ought to be kneeling at his feet. Let him come beggar-wise, slave-wise. Let him come and do the thing that he so wants to do. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. Glory be to God. That is the easiest thing in the world. It's done without strain. There is no effort in it at all. Because it's life. Whether people understand it, misunderstand it, abuse it, refuse to receive it, don't want it, is not our business. Our business is to love one another. Love one another. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I was in a meeting in this hut not so very long ago. Somebody else that I've seen started to smile straight away. He was here too. Mm-hmm. Oh, if you could have been here. Could we have let you ladies have a special meeting? It was all men. And oh, how they love one another. How they love one another. Oh, glory to God. The wonder there's any roof up here. They shouted with the power of the voice that shouted on Calvary, finished! And the whole rotten lot of devils in vesture of human beings with his sin and corruption collapsed and fell lower than the grave in which he lay and sunk down to the deepest hell. Glory be to God. Finished! And I tell you, something got finished. Oh, when those men loved one another,
Bless you, she can't. That's why I said
we'd have to let you ladies have a special Cecil. You wouldn't want to be grabbed and cuddled and hugged and have your back nearly broken, would you? Some big bear of a man came and got hold of you. Ooh, I love you, brother. I love you. Hey. There are demonstrations of it. Jesus demonstrated it once. He doesn't do it every day. It stands forever, that demonstration. I want to say to you, brothers, it's standing forever, that demonstration. You wasted your time, if not. It only needs to be done once. You can repeat it. I don't mind if you grab me again. But that's not the point. It isn't necessary now. I know it. So may the grace and love and power and glory of God surge over all our hearts and run through us as we're enlivened by the Spirit to move into all that God wants us to have. It's a commandment now. Don't you try and dodge it. Would you be known as the commandment breaker, a rebel? Would you join Lucifer's company? You ought to love one another. Love one another. And Jesus is here this morning, prepared to cleanse us. Put your feet out. Are they dirty? Where have you been walking? Or if you're a Peter, knowing a deep, vast need, or beyond that need which he never knew very much, for he never understood himself, as the last part of that chapter revealed, he said, Lord, Lord, if everybody forsakes you, I'm willing to come to death with you. I'll die with you. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, your goodness is as a morning cloud, if he would have quoted Hosea, as he loved to quote the old prophets. It's like a morning cloud. It's like the dew that vanishes. He said, before the cock crows, the night is enough. No wonder he blundered all in. He never knew. He said, oh, wash my head, wash my hands, wash my feet, wash everything. Oh, God, my feeling is I want to be with you. That's what I want to be. Anybody feeling like that? Doesn't matter if you're a Peter. Doesn't matter. He'll set it right. He understands. It's all right. I just want to wash your feet, Peter. He understands. He knows. If you try. You know, God isn't like one of these jukeboxes that you're going to cheap cafes and put threepence in there, or get sixpence and press the button for the record you want. You can't make selections. Not really. It's Him. He knows, friend. He knows you. He only wants you to trust Him. That's all He wants. A perfect and utter committal of yourself under Him. Eh? If you're clean, He'll say to you, here, take this and divide the much. Take this. It's the New Testament in my blood. In my blood, oh God, fill me, come right in as you love me, Lord. Blood, exchange my blood. I mean in that central manhood of man. Come and change its heredity. Come and change its hormone pattern, if I may use that advice. The blood of the infant. Come on in, Lord. Come on in. Ooh, God, I drink you. Hallelujah. Are you feeling like that this morning? Feast to your heart's content. You're in the guest chamber. You're not my guest. You're not his guest. You're his guest. Where is he? He's in the midst.
Hallelujah. Lord, I want a love like that. I want a love like that. Go on. But don't think your selfish thoughts. Don't let something go sliding out to advantage amongst men. Don't let something go out somewhere else. What does it matter about these things? Only that you should love one another. Really love. Amen. Let's pray.